Welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Emerson. And we're trying really hard not to try so hard.
Come hang out with us as we talk about our passion for creativity, authenticity, and heart-centered entrepreneurship. Did I say that right?
Yep, definitely.
We're going to have to laugh a lot during this episode or else I'm just going to cry.
I like how that started with a sigh and then a sad statement.
You know, that's how overwhelm is. It's overwhelming. So we're talking about overwhelm today, and this is the Ugly Podcast, where we do things out of order. And imperfectly, and let them be what they are. I'm Lauren Alexander. I use she, her pronouns. I am the owner of Scribe and Sunshine, an editing and creative blob of a business.
Not what I thought you were going to say. I love it. Hi, I'm Emerson Lee. I use they, them pronouns, and I am the founder of Happy Memories Elder Support. And I'm an end-of-life doula who supports people in their final years of life.
Welcome, everybody. So, if you can't tell, I'm very overwhelmed today. Started off the day with a good cry, and then had therapy and cried more. And then did some errands and saw a friend and got some dicks for lunch and... it's good. For anyone who doesn't live in Washington, Dick's is a burger place. It is not. I did not have Dick for lunch.
Good decision.
Yeah. So, what do you think of overwhelm off the bat? What comes to mind?
I think that it's something I feel most of the time in life, all the time. Especially having ADHD, I feel like it's just like... it's almost like I have never clocked off ever in my entire life. And yeah, just, it's just constant. I'm getting better about it. I'm finding ways to accommodate myself and find space for rest. But generally speaking, it's been the predominant theme in my life in a way that feels like it really constricts my life and keeps me from living fully. And my whole business is about supporting people and living fully. So
right.
I try to take my own approach for myself, and it does work, but I need to do more of it.
Yeah, well, and, like, there are days that it works, and there are days that you're just overwhelmed. Like, it's just how you are. Sometimes there's just no fixing it in the moment.
Yep.
Yeah. So how overwhelmed are you today? On a scale of strolling through a park to being chased and mauled by a bear.
That is a very good scale, and most of the time I am being mauled by a bear, which is funny because it's like a funny metaphor, but it's also like literally what it feels like just like your heart racing and you feeling like you're in just such a panic.
Yeah, because your amygdala is acting up, and it's like, you're in danger, oh God, you're in danger.
Literally does not know the difference between a bear and like a deadline. Yes, I am feeling, this is so weird for me to say, but I am not feeling that overwhelmed right now, which is wild.
Good.
And it's partially because, so right after this, I have a presentation, and I've been so overwhelmed until now getting the presentation done that now I'm like, yay, it's done. So yeah, that's really nice. I have been feeling the pressure of making that presentation for like weeks to months. And currently I am in that very, very brief window where I feel some relief. And then I guarantee you it will be immediately filled in with new stuff.
So you just like rounded a bend and you can't see the bear anymore. So you feel safe.
Yeah. And then it's going to like very quickly come upon me. And that, that happens every single time. Like, I feel like my entire approach to life is to get unburied from the just like avalanche onslaught of overwhelm. And then I will magically like do it, and not magically, I will do it by exhausting myself to no end, to the point of all-nighters or just like a crazy amount of work, and then I'll have just like half a day of a reprieve, and then it's back. And even then it'll be like an hour. So yeah. Yep.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you have a nice moment of reprieve and whelmed. I love that moment in 10 Things I Hate About You. And she's like, I know you can be overwhelmed and I know you can be underwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed?
Oh my God, that's my new favorite word. I've heard that quote before, but I haven't applied it to like, I want to feel whelmed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel very briefly whelmed. How yeah. about you? Because I feel like there's a bear in this room.
There's a bear in this room. Yeah. I do feel like the bear is like right on my heels and like any second I could be devoured. Yeah, it's everywhere. And I put this into a different analogy about like coming back from vacation where I came back from it was like two vacations back to back that were fairly short, but still like the disorientation of like leaving and then coming back for 2 days and then leaving again when all you have is your own shit and like having to figure out what goes where. Like it felt like I was looking at all this dog hair around the apartment and I was expected to pick up every strand and then form it back into a dog. That's how coming back to my business has felt. Yeah, so I'm very overwhelmed right now. But I did have a good talk with my therapist and we both agree that I need to let go of a few things for now. So, one like big thing, I'll just tell you, like, I'm probably going to like put my coaching program on the back burner for now.
Yeah.
Which feels really shitty because I was really looking forward to it and like so geared up and excited, but like, coming back from vacation, like, I feel so scattered, and, like, the idea of launching this program in September is just, like, oh, that bear is just, like, eating me. So, I'm doing myself a favor and taking a little bit of the over out of my whelm.
Yeah. Question for you. So, are you still planning on doing it, but just doing it at a later time? Or later start date?
I'm honestly not sure.
Okay.
I need to think on it. So yeah, at the moment, it's easier for me to think of it as putting it on the back burner as opposed to like letting go of it completely. So that's where I'm at right now. I'd like to come back to it, but as of right now, I don't know when that would be.
I ask because one of the things that's come up for me a lot is like, as a business owner, we set our own start dates and deadlines and stuff like that. And something I've been exploring lately is false timelines. And I'm constantly on a false
timeline.
Oh my gosh, I live on false timelines all the time where I'm like, all this stuff needs to get done. And it's literally just like, I think this stuff needs to get this done this week. And then I'll look at it and be like, literally, I could not do any of this. You know, like I could do it next week or next month or not at all. It's just like, so much of my own pressure I put on myself, and especially as a business owner, like it's not that we're going to get fired because our boss is going to, you know, say you didn't meet right. the deadline. It's like we set the deadline, but then it's hard because it's tied in with our income and our livelihood. Yeah. So we do like, you do have a deadline, but like, you know, for me, I'll say like, oh, well, I'm going to launch this thing in 1 month. And it's like, if I took 2 to 3 months to do it instead, I'd probably make more money and I'll be okay in the meantime. But to me, it feels like I need to do it in a month. And it goes back to like urgency and scarcity and all sorts of other stuff. Yeah. False timelines is really messing with my head lately.
Yeah. Well, and that's such an easy way to get overwhelmed is like by giving yourself these false timelines. I really like that you call them that. Is that from something or you just like came up with that?
It is. So I was going to be working and may also still be working with a play coach. Someone to help me actually enjoy life, which I do pretty well. I just need to play more. And the first thing I told them was like, I don't know what I can commit to right now. I don't know when and how much I can meet. And she said, you know, I'm a big fan of not following false timelines, meaning, you know, most coaches would be like, well, you've contacted me, so now we're going to meet in 1 or 2 weeks and then we're going to do this and it's all set, you know, and she just accepts the idea that like, every person's timeline is different, and whatever it looks like, and it can happen organically. And as soon as she said false timeline, I was like, my entire life is converging false timelines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It's also so cool because if it's a false timeline, we can be like, screw it, I'm going to go do something. Like, I can set this aside. Like, you with your coaching program, yeah. Like, all that stress that you were feeling, you can set that aside and be like, well, I'm going to do other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I'll let it be on its own timeline. If it wants to come into the world, it'll happen. / if I want it to come into the world eventually, it will happen. But I've also like been feeling really disconnected from my creativity, and like I think that's more important that I cultivate, especially because that's what this whole program is centered around. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not feeling super connected with that, so I can't put a timeline on, okay, by September, I'm going to be connected to my creativity again so that I'll be able to do this program. Like, that's not, yeah. That's not how that works.
Well, and it's going to thrive in you not putting a timeline on it.
Exactly.
That's exciting. I'm happy for you. Congratulations on not launching a program.
Thank you. That is a really nice way to think of it, because automatically my brain is like, you failed at this thing you were gonna do. So thank you for congratulating me. That feels very nice.
Yeah, no, that genuinely deserves congratulations, because it is such a big moment when you're like, oh, I can make this choice, and it's a brave choice, and it takes a lot, and it's scary to release something and not know if you're going to come back to it. And yeah, like, it literally deserves significant congratulations.
No, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So next, I was going to ask, what is your mental and physical reaction to overwhelm?
Something I've realized lately is physically in my body, I carry so much stress in like my sternum and my shoulders. And when my partner gives me a really tight hug, it feels so good, because I feel like it's like squeezing that out. It's like a weighted blanket or something.
Yeah.
So lately I keep being like, hug me really tight. It really, like, it lives there. It lives there kind of like the center of my being and just takes over. Yeah. And then mentally it's just those like racing thoughts and intrusive thoughts. I had a really sad thought recently that I actually made into a pretty picture. Like, I wrote this thought down and then drew around it. And it said, most of my thoughts are intrusive. Yeah, it's very sad. I was thinking of it when I was trying to fall asleep particularly. So it's primarily around that. But when I'm trying to fall asleep, or when I'm just trying to go about my life, just like this onslaught of thoughts that I'm like, I'm not choosing to think them. They're just coming at me. And it'll be like, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I need to contact that company for a refund. And it's like, that's irrelevant. You're sleeping.
You're trying to sleep right now.
Yeah. I wish I had an off button in my brain. And I know a lot of people deal with that. But yeah, that's the mental and physical stuff.
Yeah, mine is very similar. I like, my brain just gets so loud. Yeah. It gets so hard to concentrate. And like, in my body, I feel it a lot, like, in my head, and this is kind of what happens when I'm depressed, too. Like, my head just feels like it's full of sand, and it's heavy, and just, like, I want to just close my eyes and be done. I feel that. And I often just, like, break down and, like, don't want to move forward, like this morning when I just put my head on my desk for 20 minutes and cried. I just, like, I could not bring myself to work at all. And like, I have to laugh about it, because like, it is just so silly. Like, I'm making this overwhelm for myself with this business, and I love this business, but I do, like you said, I make these false timelines and I make things a lot harder for myself. So like, yeah, I just have to laugh about it. And then I just cry a lot anyway. This is a known fact. So yeah.
Well, and crying is so good. Like, that's another thing where I'm like, I want to congratulate you on crying, because it really is like so good. Especially if you think about it, like, so many people should be crying and aren't. And the fact that you're able to like just release it all, like to listen to yourself saying, no, I cannot work right now, and then to just cry about it is like awesome. That is a skill.
I'm so skilled at that. That's really good.
Well, good. You can put it on a resume.
Okay. Cries really easily and well.
Yes. Where do you think your overwhelm comes from?
Well, now that you've said that it's, like, now that you've told me about false timelines, I'm like, it comes from false timelines a lot. Yeah. And then I think in addition to that, it comes a lot from just, like, fear of not delivering. So, like, if I, either it's like, oh, I have all of these things to do, and if I don't do them, then I'm a failure. Or it's like, oh, I'm doing all of these things, and if I don't do them a certain way, then I'm a failure. Or, you know, it's less like a lot of expectations for myself on, like, getting things done in a certain timeline, in a certain way. And I've gotten a lot better with, like, letting go of the in a certain way part of that because of, like, all my work that I've done with perfectionism. But, I mean, it's still there. It doesn't go away. So I think a lot of that comes from that.
Do you want to hear my TED Talk?
I do. I do want to hear your TED Talk.
I'm going to try to keep it simple, but I feel like I could talk forever about how capitalism, ableism, and religious trauma are all tied into this. Because, like, oh my gosh, I could talk about each of those forever. Like, capitalism, that, like, you have to be productive and you have to, like, constantly be making money in your business. And
you have to contribute to society. And,
yeah. Most businesses to take so much time where you're not making money to, like, fully grow what you're doing. And capitalism just, like, beats the door down. Like, you're not making money yet or not making enough. So the capitalist expectations. And then, like, ableism, both with mental and physical health, that, like, you should be pushing yourself. You should not be taking the day off. You shouldn't say, I can't work today or I need a nap. Like, I took a nap yesterday and I was, like, it was, like, a shame nap. And it's, like, I desperately needed to lay down and I felt so bad. And then religious trauma of, like, you need to be this, like, we were both, like, really good students who always did our homework and, like, were always perfect. And, you know, I don't think about it very often, but over 12 years of schooling where I pushed myself constantly to get every single answer right and every single grade and every single, like, essay written perfectly, like, that's so ingrained in it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It is like you even though, like, I don't believe in a higher power, it still feels like I have to attain this level of goodness or, like, productivity in order to be worthy of life, I guess. And, like you said, like, yeah, that's so tied into capitalism too, just like, you're only worth as much as you contribute to society. You have to be pulling your own weight, bootstraps, all that good stuff. Like, yeah.
It's infuriating to think about because it's so deeply ingrained and so tangled up in everything ever. So my TED Talk has no answers. It just presents many problems.
I mean, the answer is to just, like, do your own thing and, like, embrace those breaks and give yourself that time. And, like, obviously there's no answer to capitalism. That just is the system we live in, and yeah, that sucks. But, like, in terms of, like, ableism and stuff, I mean, and thankfully that is changing. Like, people are talking about it, of, like, we need mental health days, we need, like, space to breathe and enjoy our life. And, you know, I mean, even with capitalism, there are a lot of companies that are switching to, like, 40 work weeks, and not enough of them, mind you, more of them need to do that. But, like, there are shifts happening, which I think is hopeful. And I don't know, maybe not within our lifetime, but there is hope for the human race. And then in the meantime, we can just, like, do what we're doing now with our own businesses and playing with it and giving ourselves breaks and, like, not putting that pressure on ourselves, even though we do, obviously, because I have been doing it all day. But anyway, I digress.
I love that as an answer because it is so true. Like, every nap, every time we step away from our desk and take a nap or let ourselves cry is, like, an act of anti-capitalism and is an act of claiming ourselves and prioritizing ourselves above the system and our, like, programming. Everyone always talks about programming. Like, it's like a conspiracy term. But, like, we were programmed. We were very much programmed, and we can fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take more breaks, have more naps, cry more.
Check.
Good job. So here's a good question that I think could lead us to a more hopeful place. When do you find that you're the least overwhelmed?
I think it's usually when, I guess it depends. Like, if I'm on vacation lounging on a beach, obviously that is the least overwhelmed. That is just like, yes, this is nice. But in terms of like when I'm actually working, it's usually when I know what I'm doing. Like, if I have the confidence on whatever project I'm working on, then I'm like, yeah, I got this. I've done this before. I can do it again. And I, like, this is a straightforward thing. Love it. I love projects that I know how to do, especially because, like, for the last year and a half working on my business, like, I haven't known what I'm doing most of the days. So whenever I do get, like, a straightforward editing project, I'm like, yes, I got this.
Yes, I love that. That's what I've been doing lately is I write my list of what to do for the day in order of what I'm going to do with the steps I'm going to do. Like, if I start a day knowing that I have like 15 things to do, but I don't know when or how I'm going to do them, that day's not going to happen.
No.
But if I have it, like lately, the night before, I'll go and I'll make my little list. And it's just like, I do this and this and this, and I'll get like all my stuff done because I know exactly what I need to do at every point. And that is what my brain has needed for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at work. But I also, something I've been trying to find lately is like spaces outside of work where I don't feel overwhelmed. Cause I get really overwhelmed in my house and like laundry and dishes, just like the basic life stuff. So I've been trying to find more space, like doing a puzzle or sitting outside on the porch swing, like doing something where it's like the same concept of like, I know exactly what I'm doing right now. And it's one thing and I do that one thing and I enjoy it.
Oh my God, I'm doing a puzzle today. Thank you for reminding me that puzzles exist.
Yeah, they're so good. I
love puzzles.
I have a complicated relationship with them because one of the things that'll happen is I'll go into hyper-focus. As soon as the box is opened, I will not stop until it's done. And it'll be like, it's almost as if I've like clocked on for a shift and I'm like crouched over it and like my hands and my neck and everything hurts. My brain hurts.
When I was dog sitting for you when you were on your honeymoon, I did one of your puzzles and I did it in like a night. Like, I think I did the edge piece the night before. And then the next day, like as soon as I was done with whatever work I was going to do today, which was, I probably ended at like 2, and I'm like, I'm doing this puzzle. And I just like sat at the table and did it the rest of the day.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember which one it was?
It was the one where there's like, it's like a tent opening and there's like the constellations. Yeah.
That's a nice one. Nice. Yeah. Something I've started doing lately to help my hyper focus with it. Also, if you notice on screen, which other people can't see, but if you see me, I keep turning this way cause I have a puzzle completed right here.
I was wondering.
I keep looking at it. Something I've been doing lately is, and I want to make a reel about this cause it's great for dementia or for anyone. It's a 300 piece puzzle that I did, and I've done a few that are 500, and like, you can do puzzles that are like big pieces and take you an hour and they're also still wonderful. And then your like neck isn't hurting. And it's been very lovely to be like, I like this picture and I'm going to put this together, but I don't have to like spread it out across like the entire living room. It can just be like this one, it fit on the board and it was just, it's just so nice. I did it in like an hour and it was like, we think we have to do is another, that's like a perfect example of the overwhelm and the false timeline of like, I think that I have to do a 1500 piece puzzle because I can, but I know that's going to take me days. And sometimes I just want to do a cute little puzzle. This one's roller skates. I did a roller skates puzzle.
Oh, cute. That's so appropriate because we're going roller skating.
We are.
Or next week, rather.
Yes, I'm so excited. And that's another example of a time when we're like, we're just going to step away and do something fun instead.
Yep.
Yeah.
So good. What have you learned about overwhelm as a solo business owner? And then, like, what strategies do you use to deal with it?
I think the primary thing I've learned about overwhelm is that it's the number one reason that I'm not productive. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a time that I haven't been productive for any other reason. It's literally mm-hmm. just always overwhelm. And I had a lot of really bad brain days last year where I was just so overwhelmed, didn't know what to do or how to do it. And it sucked. And yeah, that's what I figured out. Like I was saying earlier, like I need to know what the steps are and I need them to be reasonable and have just like very clear expectations for myself that aren't mm-hmm. too high.
Yeah. So. And that's like the thing that you need to know, like if anybody is going into starting their business, is just like, know that you're gonna be overwhelmed. It will happen. There is no avoiding it. There is only managing it. So, yeah, I think like most of the time that I've owned my business, I've been on the over side of whelmed on most days, you know? But like it is as you start to learn, like, okay, I now know how to do social media posts. Social media posts used to overwhelm the shit out of me. And now, like, I know how to do them. I can do them. I can post them. I don't get overwhelmed by them anymore. And so, like, just knowing that, like, every day there's something that's going to overwhelm you, but tomorrow it'll overwhelm you a little bit less.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to keep in mind is, like, the overwhelm you're feeling right now will get less with time.
Yep, absolutely. Especially, like, as somebody with anxiety, like, you know, I don't know how to not be overwhelmed. Like, my anxiety is like, no, there's all these things. Look at all these things. So, yeah. As in terms of, like, additional strategies, like, taking breaks as needed. And actually taking the break, not, like, standing up and then sitting back down. Like, just take a break, you know?
Yeah, I ate lunch outside today. I, like, took a lunch and sat for 20 or 30 minutes outside. And I was so proud of myself that I stepped away and I sat and I had a nice lunch. And that shouldn't be such a big victory, but it was.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds very pleasant.
Yeah. Do you have a go-to trick when you're overwhelmed or one that you could do?
Well, crying, obviously.
Which does reduce overwhelm.
It does. It was really nice because, like, I sat and I cried for 20 minutes, and then I went and wrote a blog post. Like, you know, I got it out, and then I went and I did my stuff. So actually, yeah, I think that I wasn't really thinking that that's, like, a helpful tool, but it is. Cry it out. Yeah. I also, my 5-4-3-2-1 method for panic attacks, that also helps me when I'm overwhelmed. Just because it helps, like, quiet my brain. Like, we were talking about the brain just gets so loud. But, like, when I do that method, my brain's like, okay, we can be quiet now. We can touch things and hear things and smell things and taste things and not be thinking about other things. So, that's a good one. What about you?
One that I love, and it's so simple, I have these little like tea candles that burn for about 4 hours, and I will light a tea candle. And by the end of that 4 hours, I like every single time I'll be so much less overwhelmed. Like I'll have gotten so much done. It's like, it's almost like a magic spell I'm casting over that like work session. And I don't know, there's something about that intention of like, okay, I'm going to take out a candle. I'm going to light it. I'm going to get to work. I see it burning down. And I know it's going to go out at some point and then I can step away. I use it a lot.
I love that idea.
I have probably bought hundreds of tea candles through my work account and it is a tax write-off because it is a productivity tool.
Hell, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's like if I were buying some like fancy app or something, it'd be like, oh, yeah, it's clearly a business expense. And I'm like, no, this is my thing. This is my app.
That's so great. I love that.
Yeah.
I told you that I would tell this analogy, and I forgot about it until now.
Well, I forgot what it is, so I'm really excited to hear it.
Okay. So, I think this could apply to, like, anybody who gets really excited about an idea, like even the idea for starting a book. Like you have this idea, it is wonderful. And then you get to this stage where things are not so wonderful. And like, I thought about it of like, when I first got the ideas, it was like Christmas morning. And I have all of these like brightly wrapped, colorful packages all around me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, look at all these ideas. This is so exciting. I can't wait to get started. And then you get started and then you start digging into the wrapping paper. And then soon enough, you like look around you and there's just nothing but scraps of paper and empty boxes. And you have no idea where the toys are. And you're just like, wait, where'd my idea go? It is now a disaster. And that is how I feel currently with my business of just like, I had all these things that I wanted to do and this, like these great ideas. And now it feels like a mess that I don't know how to sift through. And I have to like dig to find my toys. Yeah. So I need like a big garbage bag to start throwing the crap away so I can actually find my ideas again.
Yeah. And that's what I use a lot too, is like, what's my big garbage bag? What is the, like, how do I do one step after the next to get all this stuff out of the way?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that's a great analogy too, because I feel like there's also like the big boxes that we're so excited about, like your coaching program or whatever it may be, where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this present. And then it's like, actually, that doesn't end up being your favorite present. And maybe that's something you set aside. And maybe there's something else. And maybe it's harder to find or you don't know. You know, it's like that tiny little thing, the envelope up on the tree is actually a gift card for your favorite place.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, it's a lot of unwrapping and setting things aside and throwing things away or giving them away or whatever to get to the good stuff. And to be able mm-hmm. to take that stuff to be like, yes, this stuff I'm excited about, I'm going to go to my room and play with my new toys.
Yeah. Because it's funny, like Jordan will often be like, I don't really know how to do stuff, but like, I'm such a good ideas guy. It's just so funny, like that we all want to just be the ideas guy of things. Like, I just want to give the ideas. The follow through is very messy, and but that's like where the work gets done, and that's where the juicy growth happens. And so it's good. It's just overwhelming.
Ideas are so fun. I love ideas. And mm-hmm. when you have an idea, there's that period where there's no overwhelm whatsoever. And then, yeah, that's when it shows up and then it gets hard. But it's so great when the idea comes to fruition or evolves or disappears and you feel okay about disappearing. It's an interesting journey to be on.
Yep.
Something I'm thinking about is how overwhelmed I was to start my program. And this afternoon I get to hang out with 8 participants and talk about some really cool stuff. So I'm
nice.
Kind of sitting with that, like that niceness of like, and I try to do that with other things. Like my name change felt really overwhelming to me. My wedding felt really overwhelming to me, which those are 2 very separate things. I got my name changed many years ago, but all these big things that felt so overwhelming, taking that second to be like, I'm on the other side of that. Like, and my program's still overwhelming, so some things are still in progress, but I don't know, it's nice to remember that we do get to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll all get done in one way or another. That's what Tara Whitaker says from the Freelance Editors Club. It'll all get done one way or another, so just let it go.
Is that your last thought about it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm still like processing my day as it has just like been a day. So yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how my whelm feels. As I kind of let that thought settle of like, let's let go of this program for now. At least let's let go of this time frame for now and focus more on my book and playing I think that'll be a really nice thing to focus on. And getting editing work. If anybody has a book they need edited, I can do it. I've been kind of putting my editing work on the back burner, but really that's what my business is, and that is what I love doing, and that's what I know how to do. So like maybe I should just focus more on those things that I'm good at. Not that I wouldn't be good at coaching, but like I know I'm good at editing. So like let's focus on that and my own creative journey and see how my whelm feels.
Yay.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. That feels good. That's a full body yes, that statement that I just
Yay.
said. Yeah, so that's good.
We love full body yeses.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, did you make anything ugly this week?
I did. I had like three of them, and then of course right now I can't remember them. Well, one I mentioned earlier, I wrote that like statement and then made pretty, I drew strawberries around it.
Oh,
Strawberries
cute.
being pretty flowers and stuff. And then, oh, that was a fun one. My spouse wanted me to draw on them, so I got scented markers, those ones from like the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I drew all over them and that was really nice. It was cool because it's like it was literally like doing ugly art like we do on paper. It's just on a person.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going to draw. I drew a rainbow at first, of course, because that's who we are as people. But then like I ended up drawing like an ocean underneath the rainbow, and then I drew like a dolphin and fish, and then I was like, oh, a mermaid. So I did a mermaid. I ended up doing a hot air balloon. That surprised me. I don't know where that came from. So it was cool just seeing like what came up and what, because I wouldn't normally write or like draw a mermaid or a hot air balloon, and I had fun with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you?
I didn't make a ton. I did write a very short, like super micro fiction story that was like the most boring thing I've ever written, I think. I was trying to do just like a little playful exercise where I like got three random words from like a random word generator, and then I was gonna write a little story. But the words were like management and crabby and something else I can't remember, but yeah, it just I came to the end and I was like, this is so boring, like this is horrible. But you know, it was 15 minutes of writing, and that was part of my creative goals for the week, was just to sit down three different times for between this is a very specific goal, between 15 and 30 minutes to write. And so that was one of my 15 minutes for the week. Was this very boring story.
I love microfiction and very short stories.
I do too.
They're so cool.
I know, and it's really hard to do, to like make a story really compelling in only like 100, 200 words. Like that is so difficult.
Yeah, there was a I'm sure it's still going, but I'm on not on Twitter anymore. It was like the hashtag VSS and then a number, so it was like VSS 200 and it'd be the 200th one. So very short stories is VSS. And it would be a word for a prompt, and then all these people would write very short stories based off that prompt. And I remember I didn't do it for very long. I probably only did like 10 to 15 of them, but a few of them I really surprised myself by coming up with something that I really liked. Like the last line was like a nice little like sucker punch.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love them. I still have them deep in my file somewhere. I downloaded my like archive. I hope I can still access it because yeah, they're a cool concept.
Nice. I would love to see those. That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, anything you want to plug or say where people can find you?
Yeah, so my From Panic to Power program is happening right now. So there's not new participants joining, but I'm already looking ahead at starting it in January. So if people are listening, I do a program to help people transform their relationship to dementia. There's a lot of advocacy around finding more hope and joy in the experience. And I totally geek out about it literally all the time. And then in the meantime, I'm on Instagram at Let's Make Moments, and my website is makinghappymemories.com.
Awesome. And people can find me at Scribe and Sunshine on Instagram. And I am no longer looking for beta testers for now. I'll let you know if that changes. But my perfectionism workshop is available. It has a workbook to go along with it now. It's pre-recorded. You can watch in your own time. And you can find that through the link in my bio on Instagram or under workshops at scribeandsunshine.com. Yay.
Yay.
Cool. That's all we got. Keep it ugly, everybody.
Keep it ugly.
The Ugly Podcast is created by Emerson Lee of Happy Memories Elder Support and Lauren Alexander of Scribe and Sunshine. It is produced by us and directed by absolutely no one. If you like the podcast, be sure to rate and leave a review on your preferred platform and share with the creatives and entrepreneurs in your life. Keep it ugly, everybody.